Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, it's the build-up show. Liverpool in the Club World Cup final versus Flamengo. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. We had to toil a bit to get to this situation, Mr. Chris Pajak. But yes, Liverpool, this is what we've come for. Liverpool have come to the competition to be in the final. They've come to be a chance of being crowned the best team in the world. It's just mad. It's a mad set of circumstances that we're here. I guess let's start there, really, when you think about 5 years ago, Liverpool had one of the worst starting 11s I think I've ever seen. And now, we're within spitting distance of being the best
and
team in the world.
And it's testament to everybody that's worked at the club over the last 5 years. It's not just Jürgen Klopp, it's not just Michael Edwards' team. This is a winning mentality that's from the top to the bottom of Liverpool Football Club. And, obviously it's hard to get into this competition, but the competition, strangely, isn't as hard to win as you'd think, with just a couple of games if you're European or Copa Libertadores champions. I'm really excited to see this game. I don't watch Brazilian football. I don't watch Flamengo, but you know that they're a passionate fan base. You know that the quality players, skillful players, and I've heard a lot about these guys being a lot more European in style. John was talking about it a little bit earlier. The manager's European, and he's got them playing like a European side. Did they come from a goal down against River Plate to go through as well in the Libertadores final? So they've got that winning mentality that maybe Liverpool have shown in the bucket loads over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. And a really, really great game, and one that I'm so excited and nervous for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Monterrey game probably it helps us in some regard. I mean, look, it'll be a bit of a hindrance. I don't think we wanted to work that hard for that win. But I think any notion that this is just a procession, that Liverpool, European football is better than South American football or Central American football, they're just going to rock up and it's a foregone conclusion, will be gone from the minds of the players if it was even there for a single second.
I mean, the club's history tells you that that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because every time we played a South American side, they've beaten us.
Yeah.
I do think it'll help us to have had a decent game under our belt rather than a stroll.
Yeah.
I think we've got the kind of players who thrive on playing, tough games. But who knows? I mean, they're bound to be a good footballing side and they're bound to be difficult. I mean, and Chris was saying they went to goal down in their final against River Plate. They also went to goal down in their semi, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they came back. And they've obviously got good players with good technique. And, playing a tough game against Monterrey where they've got a lot of South American rather than just Mexican players. That will stand us in good stead.
I think there's a little bit of fear being put into us, Errol, because of the midweek performance. And we've just done the final word show talking about that, and partly it's rotation, but obviously Virgil van Dijk being a doubt is something that's going to live in the back of our minds until we see him take to the field at the weekend, because Liverpool should have enough quality, generally speaking. However, we were caused a number of problems at the back. And look, Jordan Henderson playing his first game ever as a centre-half. I thought he did okay. But, you're coming up against Gabigol. Gabriel Barbosa is a goal machine. They're a higher quality team until we see...
Is he deserving of that name?
Gabigol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
He's Gabby and he scores goals.
But, isn't it... Wasn't that... Batty goal, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. That's annoying.
Yeah, but you've said it out loud.
On the starting 11 as well. Just excuse me while I fume in the corner for a few minutes.
I think what you're saying, I think they are going to be a different proposition than the team that we played yesterday. But I think, in my mind, I've given myself reasons to be positive.
Yeah.
The fact that we could potentially have a couple of Brazilians in the starting 11 as well. I think they'll be up for it. They will have grew up and they will have known the team. They'll know their history. So I think that's a good thing. I think as well, the fact that we'll have Mohamed Salah hopefully starting, with Mane starting as well. Mm-hmm. A final in Qatar, they've got a lot of eyes on them as Muslim players. And I just think they will relish in that kind of battle and the challenge that it'll bring. I think yesterday we've seen, you know, we probably didn't see the Brexit midfield, but it was slightly a Brexit defence, which is quite an interesting dynamic. Yeah. But you know what? It's horses for courses at this point in the season, I think. And the lads up to now have all stepped up to the plate.
We took a gamble, didn't we? I think, part enforced because of injuries and illness and what have you. But in terms of rotating it, we've rotated so that we're fresh for this game. That's what they've done, you know, to make sure that Mane, Firmino, Salah are able to go and take the field. And that was the difference, you know. I think if those lads had started in midweek, we probably would have made a shorter thrift of them. But would we have been at the peak of our powers for this game? Probably not.
There's an interesting point about, you know, obviously we've played Wednesday, Saturday, and it's the same for them and stuff like that. But, you know, them coming Tuesday. Off the back, Wednesday.
They played the day before.
Oh, right, okay. So we've played Wednesday, Saturday. It's very, very similar for them. They're playing Tuesday, Saturday. But they're coming off the back of a season. Yeah. You know, it's the end of their season.
Finished on 90 points, by the way, and only lost four games the whole season.
That's
I did have a little cheeky look
though,
at that before. But they've done very well, haven't they, let's be honest.
I think it's easy to sort of look at it and go, well, actually, you know, they'll be in worse shape than us. Mm. We haven't really had a break. For 2 years, our players, have they? So, I mean...
You can look at it both ways, can't you? Because you can say, I think Klopp was kind of implying, like, look, they're in the flow. They finished the season, so it's just a continuation of what they're doing. They've got their squad up and running, etc. But from the flip side, I wouldn't want to, you know, a game at the end of another big game at the end of the season. We looked at the Champions League final for us and Spurs. Both those teams were knackered by the end of that. We should be... Physically, look, we mentioned
well,
it, you know.
You look through December, we've had five games against middle-ish teams, mm-hmm. and he's rotated every game deliberately, you know, and presumably he's rotated every game so that we can get to this final and play our strongest side, and then play Leicester away with our strongest side.
Yeah, I completely agree on that, and I think we've seen the fitness thing, I think, is going to be the big issue, and, you know, it's very rare that teams are fitter than us, Chris. You know, and that's one thing that, again, we saw in the Monterrey game. You know, they were the lads going down with camp, not us.
Yeah, and we all know the work that Liverpool have done to be able to get the players to play at this level week in, week out. And, you know, two games a week consistently now from the start of the season, it feels like, doesn't it? So I'm not worried about Liverpool's squad as such. I'm not worried about the fitness. I'm not worried about Flamengo, if I'm all honest. But I do recognise that good players can beat a side on any day.
And it is a
final, and it's going to be difficult because of that. I think if you play this game out of 10 times, they'll come out on top more than they come out the losers of it. So it's about putting a performance together. He'll take this seriously. He'll want to be crowned world champions. Every player in the squad will want to be world champions. It's not something that comes around very often, and they'll look to grasp it.
But this is the thing. We talked a little bit about the media stuff around it, Dad, and, you know, the Liverpool disrespecting the Carabao Cup and whatever. I mean, the fact that everyone still calls it the Capital One Cup, or has a different name for it, tells you everything you need to know about
the
that
League
competition.
Cup the League Cup is the best thing to call it, because that's what it is. The fact is, Liverpool had no choice about playing that game with kids because they weren't given another alternative.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing two games in 2 days. It's not our fault.
Yeah.
You know.
But now that we're there, that's the thing about it. You know, we've put our eggs in this basket. And say on the final, you can lose a final. You can't. That's what happens. One game of football. You know, as we saw again, we got a bit of a bloody nose against Monterrey. Things can go against you. Yeah. But this is the point: is that they're playing for those gold badges. They're playing for the chance trophy.
Let's face it: the tournament's a load of rubbish.
Which one?
And this one, the Club World Cup. Right, it's an absolute load of rubbish. And it's going to get worse because in a couple of years, they're going to make a whole tournament of it with 24 teams or something. And they're all rubbish apart from the South American champions and the European champions who were going to end up in the final anyway.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not a tournament, but we are now going to play. It's like the two best heavyweights in the world suddenly get to face each other in a boxing match.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. You have to play all... You know, beat all the others, but you know, you're in the final against the best other team in the world.
Yeah. What was the Intertoto Cup? What was the format of that?
Intertoto was the other one. That was the
it was the previous
intercontinental.
So Is that the one we used to get put into back in the day?
It was the Club World Championship, and there was the Intercontinental.
Like when we played Flamengo last time, you just flew to Japan and played Flamengo in the.
So it was just the champions of Europe, the champions of South America.
Just a one-off game, yeah. But it, I mean,
FIFA loves a procession, don't they? They love just drawing it.
They've seen it as an opportunity to, I don't know,
create group stages,
whale build, or whatever the phrase would be.
There's a chance here, I think, for Liverpool to cement themselves as this side to cement themselves as the greatest Liverpool side of all time. Now it'll need the league title, I think. You know, to be fair.
Yeah.
But you know, they're on the verge of accomplishing a feat that none of the greatest Liverpool sides in the past have accomplished. None of them have ever won this competition or the equivalent thereof.
Definitely the best Liverpool side in my lifetime that I can remember. Mm-hmm. Maybe not my favourite, which is just again a personal taste thing, but I definitely think they are the best. I think they've got some real quality. And I think the thing that will, as you said, solidify that is definitely for us as Liverpool fans and our fan base, it's going to be the Premier League. But being able, I think I watched the build-up yesterday and Andy Robbo saying about, you know, we want to win this. It's part of us making history, but then also it'll give us that extra added confidence to go into the back end of the season flying. Mm-hmm. And I think we could do with a little bit of that now. End 2019 in the best possible way. Go into 2020 knowing exactly what our goals and ambitions are, knowing that they are all achievable. And I think even, you know, we're doing something right when opposition fans are recognising how good we are and they're starting to give us the credit that we actually deserve.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest compliments we can take
it's
from this.
It's so difficult to just to get into this competition. So you're right. It's not a good tournament, but it's a good... it's that thing of... it messes with your season so much that... I just, you know, it's not like we lost the Champions League final against Real Madrid. And it's like, right, lads, we're going to go and try and get back here again, kind of thing. Like, because you want to win the Champions League every season. I could live the rest of, if Liverpool win it once, I could live the rest of my life without Liverpool going big in this competition again, just to say they've done it. But you don't want to be faced with a situation where you kind of want to be back there again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You can't get away from the fact that if you win it, you're the best team in the world. Yeah. It's as simple as that, and that's worth having in your CV, isn't it? We are the champions of the world. And it's as difficult to win. I mean, I know that like the semis are supposed to be easy. There's supposed to be a procession to the final for the two best sides. And in that way, it's false. But you can't get there unless you've won the Champions League. And you can't win the Champions League unless you finish in the top four in your own league.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a really difficult thing to win. And very few teams ever get the opportunity to try.
Yeah. In fact, when you look at it like that, John, you've got to be good for two seasons.
At least.
Prior to it, haven't you? Just to get into the top four, win the Champions League, and then...
In some respects, this is the end of last season.
Yeah.
It's like follows on from winning the Champions League. So. Yeah.
I don't know whether this solidifies them as the best team in Liverpool's history. I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think this side could still be the best side in Liverpool's history without winning this, but by winning the Champions League and the League and the League Cup and whatever, you know what I mean? I don't really put any weight into that this competition makes them the best Liverpool side ever. It may tip the balance at some point.
I think Milner's got it right when he says what you want is to win so many trophies no one remembers what year you won them because you won so many. And that's the way to be the best Liverpool side ever.
No, it's a good, so it's you're not defined as Liverpool this season. Liverpool 17, I think we talk about 13-14 and we talk about 08-09 and we talk about, you know, 2000-2001, etc.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I mean, Souness was recently telling the story of when they played Flamengo last time and how they were all, Liverpool players were all drunk and hungover and they'd been out playing golf on the driving range at 4 a.m. because they were all wide awake and they'd been told by Fagan that it was just a friendly, don't worry about it. And of course, went out and got tonked. And, you know, they never took it seriously. So you can't say... By Liverpool winning it now, that they're the best side Liverpool have had. It doesn't make that at all because the other Liverpool sides in the past, until Benitez, I don't think anyone at Liverpool ever took it seriously.
Yeah, but I think that's a mentality thing then more than anything else. Yeah. I think a lot of modern football has changed in that sense that now having the ability and the talent isn't enough because there will be other teams that will live and breathe and die 7 days a week.
Real Madrid were wearing their badge yesterday in the Clásico.
Yeah.
You know, the badge that says they're the world champions, because and they've legitimised it to some extent, particularly for the Europeans. Because if them, who were the 13-time or whatever, you know, Champions League winners, are you know what I mean, proudly declaring yeah. them this, well, then Liverpool should be doing
more
exactly
marketing power, though, isn't
well,
it?
Yeah, there's that. But
I watched
absolutely.
Some of the game against River Plate, and I watched the build-up, and it's pretty obvious that the greatest thing in Flamengo's history is beating us 3-0 yeah. and winning the World Club Championship. That's the greatest thing in their history. They absolutely think that's one. And of course, South American teams always take it seriously. Yeah. They think it is the, you know, the best thing to
well,
win.
Well, there's a snobbery, isn't there, on our part on all of it, for all of this stuff? You know, because we think our football, we're told our football, there's no doubt that European and even English football is the best football in the world. But for them, they see that and want to go and, you know, it's an underdog spirit in some regard. They want to come and smack us everywhere to prove it to the audience.
I don't wholly agree. I just think the South Americans have been groomed better by FIFA than the Europeans have.
Well, maybe.
And I think that they really do buy into the whole FIFA model and the whole FIFA thing. And for them, there is a big level of prestige that comes with it. Yeah. Where
many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And the Prem and the FA, we've kind of.
But also, you know, if English teams were in it, if English teams have performed better in the Champions League over the last decade, we'd have seen more of them in this competition, yeah. And I think there would be more to it. Whereas again, it's just because Real Madrid have dominated it, obviously, and you know, and South American teams have done well in it. You know, if we get to a situation where, you know, like, let's say Spurs. Do it and Spurs are in it next year or whatever, and then maybe you've got another English club. I think we'll start to treat it with a bit more respect, perhaps.
It's anyway. Like the Europa League all over again, where it took a few years for that to get the respect that it probably deserves all over again. For a long time, we was just treating it as if it was a nothing competition, whereas I think it's a very important competition to make sure that you are of that level within the Europe elite.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look at the Super Cup. You know, there's years when you forget the Super Cup's a thing, but when you're in it, you realise that it's something that you want to win.
If you're in any competition, you should want to win it, shouldn't you? I mean, that's always been Liverpool's mentality. But the World Club thing, because it was a trip to Japan and it was in, you know, for Liverpool fans, it was played in the middle of the night. I mean, no one really took it seriously. Mm. The fans did. The fans wanted to win it.
Yeah,
but the players and that were
one thing that's going to be interesting to know, because there are going to be people talking about the legitimacy of all this. You know, Man City take on Leicester, same kickoff time. It wouldn't shock me to see. I mean, I know we're going to be on terrestrial TV, but look at the viewing figures for the end at the end of this, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Liverpool viewing figures dwarf the City Leicester one, and that'll tell you what it means.
And there is something to it being on terrestrial.
Absolutely, you've said
that, haven't you?
But you're talking about a massive Premier League clash, the biggest, you know, it's the biggest league in the world.
There's also something to be said. Like, look, it's that Mitchell and Webb sketch, isn't it, about football and all that? It's like it's just nice to watch something different. I can watch City Leicester twice a season.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen Liverpool play Flamengo. I wasn't old enough the last time they played.
I don't know how it'll pan out. I mean, I know the game in England will get a better viewing figure because it's on terrestrial TV, there's no doubt about mm-hmm. that. But what will be interesting to see what the figures are like worldwide,
yeah.
you know, because certainly the in the Far East, they love watching Premier League football, but yeah. at the same time, will the World Club Championship drag them away? You know, that's going to be interesting. Yeah.
And don't be shocked. It's just that, again, it manages legitimised tournaments and legitimised trophies and how seriously they take those things. You know, let's look at Man City's side in the game yesterday. They played a couple of decent players, but they still put out two kids at centre-half. You know what I mean? Because they could, you know. Aston Villa made significant changes in the game against us and all that. Liverpool have made changes for the semi-finals of it. But if Man City win the Champions League this season and Pep Guardiola's still there next year, he'll want to be world champions. He'll make sure he's got a boss team to play in the final of that. Because you don't go all this distance to not prove yourself. Ultimately, you know, it kind of is what it is. You're right. It might change when it's a post-season tournament. And everyone's dead, and you know, you know, if everyone goes at it, how Bayern treat it, and how City treat it, and how Man United treat it, and all that kind of stuff will define whether it becomes a big competition moving forward. But right now, Liverpool should treat it like it's the fucking Champions League final, because they've gone all that way, and ultimately I want the gold badge on Michel.
They must be treating it seriously. They wouldn't have taken practically the whole club.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Right, we're going to talk about preferred 11s in a moment, but before we do, I was lucky enough to sit down with Liverpool legend Emil Heskey for an exclusive interview that is available in video and in podcast form on the RedmenTV.com. Here's a clip.
Maybe
Lungbergs, etc. That Arsenal team was something.
Yeah, they were special. They were special. But again, I always say this, when you've got Michael in your side, you've always got that little chance, haven't you? I mean, he's that one chance, and, well, he got two, but, and took them both. The first one?
The first one when he dives in, when it's like Owen's first goal, when it breaks in the box, Babel knocks it down.
That's the one, and then he kind of volleys it in, so instinctive. Always drops to him or Robbie, doesn't it? Bang, goal. And then the second one, it's funny because if you look at the second one, is it Tony Adams kind of shows him onto his left? Like I said, that's fine. I'll take it onto my left and play it in.
Well, it's Patrick Berger's ball for it. He picks it because he comes off the bench, I think, mm-hmm. right toward the last 15 minutes of the game, and he plays that ball into the channel, and Michael chases it down. And as he's running through, I mean, like, I'm watching it from the stands, didn't feel like there's any chance.
No, there's no. But you know with Michael that he can shift the ball fairly quickly because he's got that low centre of gravity, and he can shift it and be that 1 yard ahead of you. If you have to take it any more, then you might be able to catch him. But that first 5 yards, you're not catching him. And it's evident that he actually shows him onto his left because he doesn't want him to come back on and try and bend it. Michael just said, yeah, that's fine. Just shifts it. Bang.
Yeah, get over there, sign up. It's completely free for the first month. You get that. You get the Klopp interviews. You get the Lucas Leiva interviews. You get Chris sitting down with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Jordan Henderson in the last season. There's loads and loads and loads of amazing exclusive content. And it's all for you guys, so get involved. Right. Errol, I think it's fair to say that every one of us would have Virgil van Dijk, a half-fit, thrown up on the touchline Virgil van Dijk for this game, if possible. Was there anyone else that you think, anything controversial, anything you'd be doing for this team?
Not off the top of my head, no. I'd like to see Chen coming back in, which mm-hmm. I think is a given. And to be honest, I think we'd probably go with, if Genie was fit as well, he'd probably be the only other one that I'd say he's a certain, mm-hmm. throw him definitely back in the midfield. I think I didn't particularly like Lallana in the six last night.
Yeah.
I think his distribution was good. I just don't think he was great in the tackle. Yeah. I think I've got used to Fabinho's long legs, spider legs, just kind of just clawing things back when he's got no right to do so.
Yeah.
Lallana's obviously not of the same ilk, so I think I would prefer to see Henderson dropped back into that,
yeah.
provided that Virgil is fit.
I think that's a good point, isn't it? That I think everything will be getting done right now to make sure Genie and Virgil are fit for this, because I think you can cope with Lallana in the six if you've got Virgil at the back, yeah. and I think you can cope with Henderson, you know, in defence if you've got Wijnaldum in midfield.
You know, Van Dijk has to be the guy. I mean, they've got to move heaven and earth to get him on the pitch,
yeah.
basically. And then everyone will relax. Window. I mean, Henderson played well as a, you know, a player, but he's not organising the defence like Van Dijk does. Yeah. So You know, you need Van Dijk there, and if he's fit, then really the only question mark is who plays in the midfield. Mm-hmm. And I would go back to the fact that Klopp is generally conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll play Ginny, Milner and Henderson if he can get them on the pitch.
Yeah.
If Ginny's not fit, I'd love to see Keita get a shot at
it. Yeah. I think, for me, Chris, I think in his ideal world for this game, he's probably looking at Henderson, Wijnaldum, Keita probably for his midfield.
Yeah, I said that on the starting 11. That, in an ideal world, that's his three. And I think he puts Wijnaldum in the six. I think he puts Keita on the left-hand side and Hendo on the right.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Because he's done this. Now, there's proof of this where when Keita's played, Hendo's played the six. When Ox has played, Wijnaldum's... When Ox has played, Hendo's played the six. Mm-hmm. When Keita has played, Wijnaldum's played the six, because Henderson's the right-sided midfielder, mm-hmm, and Wijnaldum's the left. So it depending on who he's playing.
Ox plays in that forward position where Henderson's been playing for, mm-hmm, the last year.
It's an interesting choice. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain would be a bit gutted, I think, not to start this game if we're playing in midfield three, and if Henderson's
is
in
it
the
three
six.
And three for Keita now. He's just pushed himself over the line at the perfect time.
He's started doing what he does when he's playing really well, is making those little runs into the box, playing one-twos. He's got a great eye for that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's even more dangerous than Ox. And Ox is probably far more dangerous than most of the midfielders.
He's got that little bit extra. That little, it's the killer ball that I think Keita's got in him. Ox doesn't have, but a different kind of threat. And look, the one thing to note on this, Edel, is having Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench to freshen things up, if we need, is a very, very good.
I was going to say, Ox is more explosive out of the two, isn't he? And I think that'll be more important as the legs start to get tired. I think they will probably struggle the same way Monterrey struggled with the intensity of the second half. And I hope, as long as we can contain them for 45 minutes, get them into that second half, let them run the legs into the ground, and then hopefully when you are looking to make the changes of an Ox or an Origi, even a Shaqiri, with 30 minutes to go, he's still got something to offer, provided he's playing in the right position, I think.
Divock Origi to do the Divock Origi things with 10 minutes to go in the game. But I think that's a good point, is that, you know, obviously we've engineered this situation, really, haven't we, Chris, where we can go back to having Ox and Origi as the first and second substitutes. And you're right, with 20 minutes to go, that's a nice position to be in, potentially.
I'd prefer us to be bringing on Milner with 20 minutes to go, because it means we're two up, personally. But if you just want to talk the other way around, we can bring Ox on if we need a goal, sound.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I can't wait for this game. I'm so excited. And, you know, I think, as mentioned, ultimately, you know, you could lose files because it's one game of football. I think they're going to be given as good as they've got. Looking at it, you know, Gabigol's with 34 goals in 43 appearances this season, so he's definitely one to watch out for.
And I don't see them doing what Monterrey did, was sitting back and trying to hit us on the break, mm-hmm, even though that's a good tactic against us. I actually think they're going to go toe-to-toe with us.
I hope so.
And that'll be great. It should be a great game of football.
Unless we end up with, you know, Henderson and Lallana centre-half or whatever, which is the worst-case scenario.
Jimmy Milner.
Yeah, absolutely. As mentioned, obviously we're not playing in the same competition this weekend, but City-Leicester is going to be going on during this game. just a few thoughts on this one, Chris. We've been having a back and forth all week in the office about what's the perfect scenario. The perfect scenario was a draw, really, isn't it? But if you had to choose a win for City or a win for Leicester?
City.
And the reasoning behind that?
They're further behind us.
Absolutely. I like that.
Yeah, that's exactly the same. City to lose leaves them still, 14 points behind us or something, and it means that potentially Leicester could be some 13 or something behind us. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's the tricky one. There's a temptation, I think, from some people, Errol, to say another defeat for Man City absolutely buries them. But I think the difference between, 17 points and 14 points is, that could be...
We're 10 points clear of Leicester, and if they beat City and then go and beat us, it really starts to get tight.
I can't see that happening, and I think for the end of the year, how much of a kick in the teeth would it be that City lose another game and we get crowned world club champions? I think there's something in that just makes them think in themselves, right, it's the Champions League for this next year, boys. That's our best chance.
Yeah.
And I think whether Leicester like it or not, they're probably going to kick up a few more draws I'm touching wood and I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah.
But I can see City doing a run if they needed to and if they was in a position where they could. I can see us grinding out and continuing in the vein that we are.
Yeah.
I just can't see Leicester doing that into
You want them March thinking, I mean, it's just to play it out, I think you want them thinking, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point of burning ourselves out, you know, when all of a sudden, you know, you get to those games around Real Madrid and you look at their fixtures around that time, they play, they've got a lot of big games yeah. around that time, and you just want them thinking, do I just push myself that extra 10% in this game if it means I'm going to lose 10% for the Real Madrid game, which is a mentality they've not had to have for the, you know, the last couple of seasons.
Can I ask a question? If I guarantee you that Liverpool beat Leicester,
yeah.
does that change your mind about this game?
Would you then relax whatever the result is?
I still want Leicester to win. Fully still want Leicester to win no matter
what. I think I might, if you guarantee me that Liverpool beat Leicester, I might just want Leicester to beat City.
But then even a draw against Leicester's not the worst for us if they beat City.
Yeah.
So there's a few ways you can look at
it. I just want them to thinking about each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way that Liverpool pull away from this.
Yeah.
So the closer they are after these games and the further away we are, they're just becoming
concentrated
on each other.
It's an interesting game in its own right, isn't it? Because last year Leicester did get really close to getting a draw, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they're obviously playing better this season than they did last. So will they go head-to-head or will they try and hold out again? It's interesting.
It's interesting. Well, obviously, Brendan Rodgers got an opportunity there to stoke his reputation and possibly...
Either way, we can't lose. Whatever the score,
yeah, no, you're
right. You know, we come off the back of it smelling like roses.
I think that thing is that you're right. We'll have the game in hand regardless. It'll be... And then it's on us to take that advantage whenever they decide to put that West Ham game into the fixtures. It will psychologically probably help Leicester to be in a situation where it's 7 points and, you know, and they're playing for a chance of it being 4 points. But it's going to be 4 points. We'll be 4 points and a game in hand. You know, which is still very much in our favour, isn't it? I think I've been saying all along. I think it's City beating Leicester. Is the way forward, because I think City are probably out of it.
Or a draw, because obviously is. Draws don't really help anyone.
Draw is, as you said, that's the best result for us.
Yeah, the perfect scenario is we're watching the trophy lift and then checking the scores to see that it's a draw.
Maybe a draw with a couple of red cards, one for either side.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I love a high scoring draw as well. We only seem to be the team that do that.
Yeah. Give you a reason to watch Max today in the night as well. Why not? Right, score predictions then, Errol, what do you think it's going to be?
What do I think or what am I hoping? I'm hoping for obviously us to just cruise, but I know you said it earlier, John, we don't tend to do that. So I think I'm going to go for 3-1 this time round, final.
Okay.
I'm hoping that we've got the Liverpool way out of the way in Monterrey. we can beat them 3-0.
Well, fantastic.
For perfect revenge.
Yeah, go ahead.
4-3 to Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a mad, bonkers
basketball game.
Yeah, honestly, just crazy game of football. Slobber knocker.
A JR style slobber knocker, yeah. I've got no idea whatsoever. I think if we're able to put our best 11 out on the pitch, which has got, you know, Van Dijk, Gomez, centre-half pair, we can get Gini on the pitch in the midfield as well, I think we'll win 3-1. I think if we're playing a mismatch of anything, then you're right, that it could be a 4-3, 3-2, 5-2. I've got no fucking idea. Let us know yours in the comments below. I've got no way of knowing this in any way, shape or form. Yes, preferred 11s. Score predictions in the comment section underneath. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I genuinely hope that the next time I see us all, Liverpool are champions of the world.
I can't wait to be in the cop and hear the song that it's going to be, because it always surprises you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They won't go with the obvious.
We are the champions of the world, because it doesn't scan. You never know. We've been lazy about these things in the past. Fingers crossed, anyway. I just want those gold badges more than anything, and I hope the players feel the same way too. Listen, drop a like on this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We are touching on 400,000 subscribers. You could be the 400,000th if you've not subscribed. Make sure you do. Click the notification bell as well. And, of course, if you want the Heskey interview, go to the redmentv.com. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.